associating so much with these generational curses. When we have our own generational blessings,
your sins are forgiven. That means that you are a candidate for the miraculous. Because no matter where you are, once you hear my voice, the power of God will meet you.
And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has the life. We have the life of the Son of God. We are not ordinary.
You're about to listen to the visionary of Manifold Grace Ministries.
Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11, and then from there, we go to Proverbs chapter 3. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pits, wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. God has delivered you, sent you forth out of the pit wherein is no water. How? By the blood of the covenant. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Do not be afraid, it says, of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Today I'll be talking on how to have victory over the slippery pits of destiny.
Amen.
Victory over the slippery pits of destiny. You know, for long I wondered why people that rejoice when they are young, that have a vibrant confession when they are young, suddenly cannot be seen on the landscape. I wondered, why is it that believers fall? When I say fall, I don't mean that. I'm not just talking about falling into sin, per se. But I'm talking about apathy, complacency, and disillusionment. Why is it that people that had a vibrant confession, talking about how they are going to take over the world, how they are going to hold crusades, how they are going to change lives, suddenly we don't see them on the scene again. Now they are struggling just to survive, just to feed their family. Why? Is this the plan of God? When people are young, you see them rejoicing, you know, they have very vibrant confessions. I was telling my wife recently, I said, why is it that by the time people enter their 40s, you look around, there are very few people in the landscape. It's not that they died though. It's not that something like that happened to them. But it is that they fell into the slippery pits of life. It is that the devil forcefully collected their testimonies from them, snatched their testimonies from their mouths. It is that confession that they were making, the devil stood there and made sure that shame blocked their mouth, puffed their mouth with shame like chaff, so that those confessions that they were making when they were younger, now, those confessions are heavy in their mouths. And they say, but when we were in school, you were the major person. You were the person that, when we were in school, your confession was what encouraged me. But now we don't see them. We don't see them. They are like those that say, we don't see our signs anymore. The summer is past. The harvest is ended. Yet we are not saved. Why? 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 Now, there are people that, you know, they might have big ministry, a call has a part to play in that. But no matter where you are, once you have a vibrant confession as a young person, it is a sure sign that God has destined you for something great. It might not be a ministry, but anywhere you go, the Bible says that a gift, wheresoever it turns, it will prosper. That means that you might not be in ministry, you might be in business, but we see you on the landscape of life. You might be in a career. We will see you there. Anywhere you go, God will stand you out as a colossus in the midst of your generation. That is the truth. Wheresoever a gift of God turns, it prospers.
Yes, sir.
Whether it's not ministry, whether you are in a career, you will from there, your confession will still be strong. Your thanksgiving, your confessions will turn to thanksgiving. But why is it that there are many that their heads are hanging down? Yet the Bible says that the shout of a king is amongst them. If you are one that your shout has been taken from your mouth, if you are one that your confessions are not as robust as before, if you are one that you feel that life has beaten you, has battered you, and muted you, this message is for you. Listen well. Because God is lifting you from the ashes of life.
Amen.
And setting you upon your throne of glory.
Amen.
This year, not another year. I'm talking about this year. This year is your year of double honor.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This message will warn the young and snatch the elderly from this evil pit, this slippery pit of destiny. There are people that barrages of evil news targeted at their destinies have made their heads to hang down. The struggles, the hustles have narrowed their hearts. Doctrine has injured them. High tempo of life has motivated fear in their hearts. Fear of the unknown. Fear of poverty. Fear of ending up like their forebears. And it does not mean that you are not anointed. You might be anointed. Life happens to people that are even anointed. I am teaching you how to subdue life.
Yes, sir. Glory to God.
I was talking with one of my young men and he was talking about subduing. I said, when God says subdue, if there were no forces that were arrayed against you, God will not say subdue. Subdue is an action word that is meant to overcome powerful forces that are arrayed against you. But today, God is giving you victory.
Yeah.
I say God is giving you victory.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Elijah was a man like this. Anointed, but at a point he sat down and said, hey, let me die. I am not better than my forefathers. So there are people, then you gather together and ask that, what of this lady that used to sing when we were in school? What of this, our president of fellowship when we were in school? Where is he now? What of this person that was very entrepreneurial, that used to, you know, make this, make that, that could turn anything to gold? Where is she now? And then they say things like, she got married. But there are other people that have gotten married and they have become better.
Yes, sir.
or they say, oh, that guy, I don't know what happened to him, or I've been trying to contact him, but he is hard to contact. The reason you can't contact him is that shame has made his head to hang down. But our God that we serve, this God of double honor, is your glory and the lifter up of your head. As I speak right now in the name of Jesus, every smell, every perception of shame around you is broken and shattered in the name of Jesus. I command the honor of the Lord to rest upon you. I command the glory of God to lift up your head in the name of Jesus. And there are many pits, but I will talk about these three pits. These three pits are interwoven. They are interwoven. And they are terrible pits. They are slippery pits. And I will tell you why. But the Lord will give deliverance today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Number one pit is the seduction of dogma. The seduction of dogma. I didn't say doctrine, no, because doctrine turns to dogma. But I called it the seduction of dogma. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There was a sect in the days of Jesus. They were called the Pharisees. The Pharisees rose up during the Maccabean revolt. They were commended by God. But when Jesus came, they were the strongest opposers of the greatest move of God. I heard a man of God say this, and I believe him. He said religious bondage is the strongest kind of bondage to break. is the most difficult bondage to break.
Yes, sir.
And one of the reasons why we have this seduction of dogma is that many times we have people that equate the written word to God. God is in the written word. Okay? But equating the written word to God, people end up invariably equating their doctrine, their interpretation of God's word to God. And there is a problem with that. You know, many times people carry the word of God. The Bible says in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That word there is talking about the living word, Jesus Christ himself. Okay? But then they said that this word we are teaching you is God himself. Is God. Wait. Jesus said concerning scripture in John 5:39. He said, ye search the scriptures. He didn't say for God. He said, because in them you think you have eternal life. He says, but those scriptures are testifying of me. That means that scriptures have not done their work until they reveal Jesus. Your breaking of the Bible, what you are taught, has not really done anything until Jesus walks out of the pages of scriptures. That means that scriptures are as powerful as when the written word coincides, reflects, and takes on the form of the living word in our lives. This thing I'm saying is very important. Because when Paul said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, when he said that we have a more sure word of prophecy, mind the language, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and he's talking about scriptures, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in our heart. He's talking about scriptures. More sure word of prophecy. Yet, to his friend, his brother, the Bible says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means that the major spirit of prophecy, why prophecy, is because it bears the testimony of Jesus. That means that for us to say that we have seen something in God's word that will benefit your destiny, that will not allow you to fall into this pit of seduction, of dogma, that means that Jesus must walk out of that scripture in his glory, in his power, in his wisdom, and in his beauty. If not, what you have is dogma, not doctrine. What you have is a seducing spirit, not doctrine. And James chapter 3 tells us what this wisdom should look like. He said that anybody that is endued with knowledge from above, he says, show it by your works. Show it by your works and by the meekness of wisdom. He said, but when there is strife amongst you, he said, this wisdom is not from heaven. Because the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. It is peaceable. It has good works. That means that if what you are believing is condemnation, is killing people, it makes you superior to other people, it makes you hate other people, it makes you feel that other people are not in your company, that is a slippery pit of destiny. Listen to me very well. Listen to me very well. There are young folks especially that need to hear this so that God will raise up your head again. I have seen many people that this has been their pit. They pray, they give everything. It's as if the bandwidth of their destiny is narrow and restricted. This is the reason what they have believed. No wonder Paul said to Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. By doing this, you will save yourself and those that hear you. Because doctrine has been the slippery pit of many people. I know some of you are listening to me. There are people that once you start hearing God's word or God starts giving you revelation, they become pompous. Everybody is not spiritual. We are the ones that are spiritual. No. I go to Methodist churches. I listen and I'm blessed.
Yes,
I go to Anglican churches and I'm blessed.
Yes,
I go to different places. I sit down. As long as they are calling upon the name of the Lord, I am blessed.
Yes,
but you get to a place that you listen to people, they are not deep enough. It's a slippery pit of destiny. Everybody is not deep. Everybody, there is something wrong with their doctrine. Everybody, you are the only one that knows the Bible. Abba. Abba. It's a problem. You have to deal with it.
Yes,
because we have eternal life now. Ah, we are superior to other people. Oh, you know, this life, they are not like us. If you have eternal life, go and help other people. The life is given to you to help the poor, to help the sick, to raise them from the dust, from the ashes, and sit them upon the throne of their destiny, not to brag with. This is a slippery pit. I've talked about this, I will say it again. There are young people in those days that were attacking ministers of the gospel. I knew some of them and I noticed something with them because I know about a movement in one of the schools in the Southwest years ago. I'm talking about the early 90s. I am a young man, but I was born into this thing. So I don't need to be too intelligent to know some things. So by observation, if you can observe, you will know, you will see some things. I observed that movement, they tried to exalt the word, but they were exalting their doctrine and their dogma. It was seduction. That thing that makes it that nobody can talk to you again because you know everything is a seducing spirit. It's not ordinary. I observed their lives after some years. This thing I'm telling you has happened to them. They are no longer on the landscape again. Some of them are atheists. Some of them, they can't go to church because there is no church that is deep enough for them. That's not the spirit of Christ. And then one thing I observed, and which is one of the things that injures the destinies of people, is that I saw in their lives that some of them started getting into immorality that they could not bring themselves out of. It was because of the seduction of dogma. Be careful. If what you believe makes you to live anyhow because you feel that you are okay, something is wrong. It's not because of the gospel. It is this pride. It is a seducing spirit. You have to beware. So when I saw this thing happening, I told people, I said, let me tell you something. What is happening to these people? And I'm talking about people that are entering into behaviors that you cannot reconcile with who they are. These are people that when they were in school, they were feared because of holiness. And then suddenly now, they have impregnated somebody. Suddenly, there are different cases of immoral acts attributed to them. And you're wondering, what is happening to all these people? What's the problem? Because the same restraining force that restrains us from committing sin is that same restraining force that restrains us from doing things that the seducing spirits will cause you to do. Hear me well, I'm preaching. Some people say that this man has come with Koboko today, but I will soon pour oil, olive oil for you. When we go out of our way to attack brethren because we feel we have doctrine, something that was restraining, a boundary in our spirit is broken. But you might not know. You will feel it, but you won't know what is happening to you. When the people that you revere, you are able to go, whether on social media or physically, or tell people and say, hey, sir, stop lying to the body of Christ. People that, if not for them, probably you would have been a Muslim now. Because it is through them that Christianity came to your village. People that have labored because they don't have your rema. You say, hey, stop doing that to people. You, all these people, you are teaching rubbish. Be careful. Because that restraining force is what God has put there. It is the same restraining force that stops you from committing sin.
Yes, sir.
Young men tell me, I say, sir, daddy, please pray for me. I say, what happened? Sir, I almost slept with a lady, but God just delivered me. They feel that they woke up to themselves. No, it was that restraining force. Because it was still mended. It had not been broken. That's what delivered them from sin. But by the time you go out and start attacking people, that restraining force is broken. There was a man in scriptures. His name was Shimei. Have you heard of Shimei before?
Yes, sir.
Shimei was a man that when Absalom rose up against David, David was destitute with his mighty men. David had to run out of town. Shimei saw David running out of town. As king go, Shimei started stoning David and cursing him. David left him and said, sir, let us kill this dog. David said, leave him. Whether it's God that's saying, let God look at him and see my affliction and pity me. They left him. He followed them over the hill, was still stoning, carrying sign, throwing at David and cursing him. And people said, sir, this man is a dog. Let's finish him. David said, leave him alone. leave him alone. But that thing, it pained David. It pained him to his bone marrow. You see, what happened? For you to see a king,
yes,
it's just like you seeing the anointed. And you were, there was no restraint inside you to say, even if this man has fallen for some time, just like David refused to kill Saul because he's the anointed of the Lord, you can't restrain your hand. When David was dying, the last thing he told Solomon is that Shimei, that old man there that was stoning me when Absalom rose up against me, before God restored this kingdom, make sure it does not die a normal death. Make sure it does not die normal death. Make sure that his head goes down with blood. His hoary head goes down with blood. Solomon was a wise man. And I'm trying to teach you something from this. Solomon called Shimei. Shimei was already afraid. He said, you know what you did to my father? He said, sir, I'm sorry. I have begged him. No. Solomon said, there's no problem. My own is build your house in this Jerusalem. Don't leave this Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Shimei said, no problem, sir. No problem. I will stay here. I'm not going anywhere. But Solomon knew something. Solomon knew that if you don't have restraint, that you can talk against the anointing, you don't have any restraint in your soul, you cannot have physical restraint too. He knew that that same thing that will make you say, and this is why they don't know, this is why they fall into this pit. That thing that makes you abuse people and talking out to the anointed and talking out, it is the same. That young man that has restraint is the one that will run back and say, sir, God delivered me from sin today. But for this one without restraint, it will be as if God is not on hand to deliver him. After some time, like 3 years, they heard Shimei, two of his servants, ran away and ran to Gath. He gathered his horses and went to look for them, left Jerusalem and went to bring them back. Solomon heard and said, call Shimei. He said, did I not tell you not to leave this place? He said, sir, actually, it's my servants. He said, did I not tell you? You know what you did to my father. And I told you, stay in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. And you still went out. He said, your blood will be upon your head. Go and finish him. But Solomon knew something. He knew that the same restraining force that restrains the soul from hitting at people, from attacking people in authority, is the same restraining force that will stop you from defrauding people.
Amen.
That will stop you from immorality.
Amen.
That will stop you from those things that are slippery pits of your destiny.
Yes,
but that's the seduction of dogma. You think you have seen something in scriptures that is not in line with the character of Jesus. And you rise up and say, hey, no, we must. Aluta. There is no aluta in Christianity.
Yes, sir.
God is the one that raises men.
Amen.
And God is the one that brings them down. The Bible says promotion does not come from the east, west, or south, but God is judge. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
I know a young man that was like that. There are people, you know, he was like that. And I told him, and he was struggling. And I told him, I said, yeah, stop that. And with tears, he said, sir, what should I do? I said, that company is a slippery pit. That company, all those people that are encouraging you to do those kind of things, they don't like your destiny. Give it another 5 years. The spirit of shame will be hovering around you. Give it another 10 years. I assure you, you will not be in ministry. You will look around, and if you are not in ministry, if you are in a good business, it will be okay. You will be living an ordinary and despised life. It must be guarded against. And I told him, separate yourself. He separated himself, changed his what diet. Within 1 month, his life changed. Full of testimonies of honor, full of testimonies of glory, full of testimonies of power. God's word is the same. Don't use the word of God, doctrine, to say, are we attack? No. Or are we talk down people? They don't know God's word. These young people, all they believe is healing. They don't know about prosperity. They have not gotten there. No, don't do that. It's a slippery pit of destiny. And the only thing that can help people in this pit is revelation. The light of revelation. Forceful light of revelation. Information does not change people. It is revelation. That is word with power. That's what changes people. And then you must leave that cycle. There are some people that you are in circles where they say that God heals when he feels like. That circle is a circle that can bring death to you. You must reprogram your heart, or else very soon it will start printing out what you have been hearing in your life. Human beings have already gotten 3D printing, but there is spiritual deep printing already. Even before we got 3D printing, that the realm of the spirit, your spirit, will start printing out the things that you have been hearing in your life, the things that you have believed in your life. And many times you won't know that unless you attack it consciously, you won't know that those are the things you are believing now. You must consciously attack it. Focus, repetitive approach. All those things that say that poverty is of God, you must attack them. It's the seduction of dogma. It looks beautiful. That makes you feel that anybody that has money is doing something wrong. It's a seduction of dogma. That makes you feel that any woman that is successful in society is sleeping around. It's a seduction of dogma.
Yes, sir.
That makes you feel that all these people that are not wearing earring or not wearing scarf, they are going to hell. It's a seduction of dogma. Anything that makes you hate or makes you feel superior to other people,
yes,
is a seduction of dogma.
Mm-hmm.
You must fight it as if you are fighting for your life. Number two, the scourge of the tongue. Job chapter 5 and verse 21. I know that this is part of the prophecy. I repeat, God said he is breaking physical and soulical bondages this evening. Job 5:21. Thou shalt be healed from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. You shall be healed from the scourge of the tongue, neither will you be afraid of destruction when it comes. The Hebrew word for that destruction, that is the first time it is used in the Bible. That this Hebrew word, this particular short, this Hebrew word, that's the first time it is used in the Bible. This word for destruction, it means wasting. It means disillusionment. It means destruction. It means robbery. So the Bible is saying that thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it comes. That means that there is a relationship between the scourge of the tongue and how people's destinies are robbed, are battered, and wasted.
Yes, sir.
From that time that scandal rose against that man, he could not lift his head again.
Yes.
That's the scourge of the tongue. Those that have been there, they know what it means to suffer the scourge of the tongue. And what they said against you is all wrong, they are all lies,
yes,
but people have believed. How will you convince them to tell them that all they said, they are lies? Even those that are your closest friends are asking you and say, look, we are your friends, tell us what really happened. And you are crying. I say, you mean you don't believe me? God is hiding you from the scourge of the tongue. And for those that have been taken in the snare of the tongue, the snare is broken and you escaped in the name of Jesus. Many people feel that when we say demonic attacks, attacks of the devil, that the attacks of the devil always come as people firing arrows. Arrows. And then you wake up, one side of your body is paralyzed. They say that's spiritual attack. Or somebody wakes up with a sickness. That's spiritual attack. There are most of the worst attacks we ever see are the attacks of whispering spirits.
Yes, sir.
Either directly from the devil or through people that he raises up.
Yes, sir.
There are people that they have been hearing voices saying, why are you fighting? Don't give it up. Let it go. Why are you fighting? What's there to fight about? Who even loves you in this life? And then it keeps building up. It keeps building up. It keeps building up. Until now, they are on internet looking for how to commit suicide. That is demonic attack. That's demonic attack. Somebody told me, said that when these things happened to me, I felt like committing suicide. Is that day you pray though, that thing broke? Right now, in the name of Jesus, for those of you that barrages of the enemy's lies have been coming to you, I break them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I break them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Precious woman of God, married to a man of God, whispering spirits came. They start whispering. Your husband does not love you. Nobody appreciates you. What are you even still doing here? And it's a build up. Every day it will come. And because the devil takes a look at your personality, you are melancholic. You are one that is given to thinking. Or you are one that has been raised to hang on to other people for sustenance. And then the devil starts feeding you those things. This woman packed her bags one day and said that I am leaving this house. No violence, no nothing. No verbal violence, no domestic violence. No, I'm leaving this house. And then she went for a meeting. As the power of God came upon her in that meeting, scales came for her eyes. She said, come, what am I doing? That means that all those whisperings were whisperings of demons.
Yes, sir.
It is the scourge of the tongue.
Yes, sir.
The scourge of the tongue will come and flog people. But you're a failure. Look at your mates everywhere. You're a failure. What are you doing here? It's the scourge of the tongue. A precious man of God, a dear man of God, told me about a friend, another minister, that had a traditional ruler as they were mates in school. So he connected with the traditional ruler when he was coronated, and they talked. And one day, their discussions got to a place that was talking about our powers. The friend, too, as a man of God, said, "Me too, I have powers." He said, "You don't think I am the same student?" He said, "Me too, I have powers." Then things started happening in his life. I mean, strange things that happened in the life of this man of God. By the time this precious man of God that was telling me this story entered his house one day, he said he felt the spirit of death in the house. The wife was there. He went to him and said, "What's happening?" He looked at his hand. It was a sniper that was in his hand, about to commit suicide. How can somebody that is doing well, that is successful, suddenly turn and want to commit suicide? People will say that, you know, it is PTSD, it was under pressure. It is attack of the enemy. It is the scourge of the tongue. If you are a real woman of God, why are you divorced? Whether it is some, it is imaginary. You can imagine what people are saying about you. Are not heard it all. It's imaginary.
Yes,
everybody will say that me, you, that you are the one teaching God's word about lovely home, but now you have left your husband's house. You claim to be a woman of God, but your prayer could not keep your marriage.
Mm.
Your prayer could not keep. Physician, heal yourself. That is the scourge of the tongue. Don't treat it as if you are just having ordinary thoughts. You have to rise up against that evil spirit.
Yes, sir.
You have to rise up against the devil.
Yes, sir.
What are you living for? Anything. The devil, once he brings shame, he brings discouragement, brings confusion. Look at your age. Look at how old you are. Look at how old you are. Look at where your mates are. Look at the people you were even ministering to when they are in school. See how their ministries are successful. See where you are. You have to interrogate your call, whether you are really called of God. That's the scourge of the tongue. That's the scourge of the tongue. And it's in this time of people's life, they start isolating themselves. They start isolating themselves. This is the time you have to rise up in prayer and take a hold with people that will rise up with you.
Yes.
When people that you trust start talking against you,
and Job's wife is saying, "Curse God and die."
And the Bible says Delilah was wearing something out. Something out. That is the scourge of the tongue.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There are some times that when the scourge of the tongue comes like barrages, it will look as if it's better for you to die than to be alive. You have to rise up. Don't isolate yourself. Get people that will be around you. Get people that will hold your hands. Get people. I knew a man of God that was so popular. He was having great crusades, and then suddenly disappeared. What happened? It was a simple problem. A scandal that is not even fit to be called a scandal. A scandal that there were 419 people that cheated him of one small money. I mean, Nigerian terms. I mean, small money in Nigerian parlance. His ministry started going down. People said that if he is really a prophet, how did he not know that the people that came to install this thing in his church were 419 people? If he's really a prophet, and people started pulling out. That is the scourge of the tongue. That's the scourge of the tongue. You have to rise up. A man of God, I've given this testimony in one of those messages. One of our disciples, he was a commander of us years ago. He said he entered into a particular place. He felt somebody stab him from behind. That was the scourge of the tongue.
Yes, sir.
That means that people have been saying evil things behind his back. He said he felt it as if it was physical, but they were stabbing his soul. He felt it. Ah! What was it? He felt it stabbed from behind. Some of you have been feeling that kind of thing. You enter places, everywhere is uncomfortable. They are talking about you. They are pressing you down in your office. But the Lord of the breaks has risen for you. Aya! Ba Perazim has risen for you. In the name of Jesus, God is hiding you, keeping you, protecting you from the scourge of the tongue. God is delivering you from your strong enemy and from those that hate you because they are too strong for you. In the name of Jesus, don't treat them like your thought. Treat it like an attack of the evil one. He sent for me. He said, please, can you come over? I flew. I just came from outside the country. Then I flew to his house overnight. Until I saw trumpets blowing, announcing him. What was supposed to eat him up, turned for his glory. And I said, according to that prophecy, that the ties of the evil one that was supposed to swallow you is broken in the midst and turned around for your glory. The mockings of evil men are turning for your glory. Amen. In the name of Jesus. The ambushments of evil men are turning for your lifting. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Scourge of the tongue. People keep saying the same things to you. People keep saying, the ones, and when this thing comes, the devil will make it overshadow every good thing that has been said about you. It is that single one that is evil that you will hear. That single one that is evil that you hear. And then he will continue embellishing that one, adding to it. You are thinking that, you know, my thought, I'm just having straight thought. It is the devil. You have to rise up against it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I pray that God strengthen you. And these words we are speaking strengthen you.
Amen.
There are some of you that you've gone through periods of grief. You've prayed, you didn't have an answer. You've prayed, you've lost a loved one. Let it be your consolation that they are with Jesus, which is far better.
Yes, sir.
There are some questions you should not be asking.
Yes, sir.
Because there are many times, you know, our generation now, you know, I'm looking for closure. You will go to the grave of somebody that died 30 years ago. Dad, I'm just looking for closure. I know, you know, you were not good to me. That day you smacked me because of the chocolate. That's why now I am 59 and I don't have bearing in life. You don't have bearing because they smacked you when you were 9 years old because of chocolate. That thing is not your dad.
Yes,
that thing is whispering spirit.
Yes,
it is the scourge of the tongue.
Yes, sir.
It's the scourge of the tongue. There are people that ask why question, why? They keep asking why question. It is not every question that needs an answer.
Yes, sir.
Let the word of God, there are times they ask Jesus, learn from Jesus. Jesus did not exercise himself in things that were too high for him.
Yes, sir.
They asked Jesus, who sinned that this man was born blind? Is it the mother? Is it the father? Or is it him? How can he himself sin? Is it that he was eating too much in his mother's womb? He said, is it him himself that committed sin? Jesus said, none of the above. He said, but that the works of God might be manifested, that the glory of God might be manifested, I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. Jesus did not give them an answer. Jesus did not answer that question of who sinned. He just answered the question of what God is about to do, not who sinned. They asked Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his authority. You will receive power. Because there are some of those thoughts that brought people to the place of disillusionment.
Yes, sir.
Why did they? But we prayed. Why did God not answer? What did God not do? But you don't. There are many things you don't know in the realm of the spirit.
Yes, sir.
There are many things you don't know. Meanwhile, the person you are crying over, he's in heaven. They are jumping on the streets of gold, rejoicing and looking down and wondering why you are sad.
Thank you, Jesus.
This Christian life, it is heads we win, tails we win.
Yes, sir.
There is no way you can turn it. The die falls 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If there is a seventh side, if it is a heptagonal dice, anywhere it falls, we win this criterion. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Stop entertaining those thoughts. Those thoughts will not bring closure. God's word is what has power to give you closure.
Yes, sir. Amen. Mm. Amen.
What the word of God has said is what has power to give you closure.
Yes,
not pursuing, because I know there are people that pursue those thoughts. They have entered into occultism.
Yes,
they have entered into spiritism. They have entered into wrong teachings because they were looking for answers that cannot be found in this realm.
Yes,
the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord our God. The things that are revealed, be contented with the things that are revealed. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Be contented.
Yes,
or else the devil will accommodate you with the scourge of the tongue.
Yes, sir.
And when the scourge comes, that's why you are here. Because I'm going to pray. God hides you from the scourge of the tongue.
Yes.
I am seeing somebody. I am seeing signs of floggings on your back. And it's not physical flogging, no. It is the scourgings from the place where you walk. It is the scourgings of betrayal from people that you trust. But the Lord is lifting you above where their weapons and their instruments can reach you. I hear God saying, He's lifting you above the place where their weapons, their cordials, their whips can reach you. For God is promoting you, and you will not remember the days of your pain, says the Spirit of the living God. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. You will expect that the attack of the devil that was coming towards Peter was that demons were coming. These attacks don't always come with the devil coming with a pitchfork in the night. No. But the attack, we saw it play out within the span of the cock crowing twice. The attack was the scourge of the tongue. You are one of them. I know you now. You are the protocol officer. You are there among them. It was the scourge of tongue. And he was swearing. No, I'm not. I swear. I don't know him. I swear. I don't know him. And then the cock crowed. And then shame, condemnation, disillusionment. That was enough for Jesus to say, I have prayed for you. He took prayer because that is what has bowed down the head of people. Their heads are hanging down. One disappointment, which God was actually working for their glory in the future, made them to lose him. We went to this place. We thought that God was going to move. They have lost him. They have lost. Hey, this man broke my heart. And had already seen our lives together. God is able to give you a better man.
Amen.
And he will.
Yes, sir.
He will.
Yes, sir.
Don't put your life and say, oh, my life is finished. See, I am here now. And then you go and meet the person. Look at what I'm experiencing in my life. Oh, 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 oh. No, 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 no. God is your glory and the lifter of your head.
Amen.
Mm. I thought I'd be a woman of God with my husband. Now I'm a single mom. Rise up and fulfill destiny as a single mom.
Yes, sir.
Rise up and fulfill destiny. As you are fulfilling destiny, God will bring the man that executes his word from a far country to you.
Amen.
I say it to you by the Spirit of the living God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory.
Some of you should listen to the message, the recent message on the believer's journey of prosperity.
Mm.
So that it will give you a clearer perspective on this. God is standing by you.
Yes, sir.
Reach out to help us. Don't entertain those thoughts. Your flesh likes hearing those thoughts. Nobody likes me. Yes. Nobody loves me. Everybody is against me. You know, I'm a failure. Your flesh likes it too. Don't allow the devil and your flesh to lead you into the pit where there is no water. Fight it. Fight it with God's word. Paul said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. But the Lord stood by me at my first answer. But at his second answer, God had raised men. Because God had brought many men in the city to support him.
Amen.
God is raising men for you. God is raising men to turn the narrative in your favor. God is raising men with words in their mouth, with fire in their mouth, with swords in their mouth to cut down the wires of the evil. God is protecting you from the scourge of the tongue.
Amen.
And lifting up your head again.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Mm.
People have called you and said, we thought we were going to be the one that will succeed, though. You that we are head girl. Now we are. What's happening to you? Now, such is life. Such is life. Things turn. And now we've been the noisemakers that time. Oh, that you are always writing our names as noisemakers.
Mm.
Now we are making noise and social media is hearing us. Make some noise. Now you are crying. in the night. You are crying in the night. Because you say you are there. And then you have come out with a new, because all these things I'm saying, they are linked together. You have come out with new doctrine. Hey, life ends fear, man. Life is not about how you keep yourself. It's not about, hey, keep quiet. Look up to heaven.
Yes, sir.
God will give you a new testimony of power.
Yes,
a fresh testimony of glory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Number three, we finish with this. Number one is what?
The
seduction of dogma. What we believe. Doctrine is a slippery pit if it does not bring out the character, the power, and the glory of the living Christ. Number two is what? The scourge of the tongue. Either through people that are talking against you or through that barrage of thoughts that the devil keeps bringing against you to make you feel condemned and worthless and imprisoned and disillusioned. And then number three is the strivings of the people. I love this. Psalm 18. Thou hast delivered me from the striving of the people, from verse 43, and you have made me head over the heathen. A people who have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their closed places. God has delivered you from the strivings of the people. God has delivered you from hustling spirits. God has delivered you from wandering spirits. That unsettled spirit is not of God. I see it on social media. This hustling spirit, this striving of the people, is trying to do everything to move up and forward under peer pressure, under fear, under the influence of competition. That's hustling. Trying to do everything to move up or to move forward under the influence of peer pressure, of fear, or competition. That's hustling spirit. That's the strivings of the people God has delivered you from. And many of these people are always running around in circles. That guy that has a big church. I'm even older than him. I'm 1 year older than him. And he has a big church. Oh boy. Let me tell you something. People that say, this thing you are seeing, anybody can do it. It is a lie. There are what we call gifts and callings. I observed that many times in Nigeria because the role model and mentor that many young people have, Christian people have, are pastors. They aspire to be pastors. Quite a number, a significant number of them are not called to pastoral ministry.
Yes, sir.
It's because that's all they see.
Yes, sir.
As they are growing up, what is good is that that spiritual atmosphere, that mentoring will help them in future.
Yes.
As they are growing up, they start entering into what God has called them to do. They enter into a career, into a business,
yes,
into the, and become representatives of God and holders of the mountains of influence in those areas.
Amen.
But that time that they were with the anointed, we help them in that place where they are.
Yes, sir.
And this same power, we shoot them up there.
Amen.
But to feel that anybody can have a mega church, not anybody that can have a mega church. It has to do with gifts and callings.
Yes,
but if you are where God has planted you, you will shine like a star. I'm telling you. If you are in that place, and that is why many times in meetings, God aligns people's destinies. God brings them from the wrong river and sets them on the right river. Stop fighting people. Stop fighting graces. Stop fighting people's callings. Stop trying to be like other people. And this is because many people are not contented. They are materialistic. Find your place for the glory of God.
Amen.
Cease from the strivings of the people.
Amen.
Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
And it's the favor of God that delivers you from this place.
Yes, sir.
Hard work is different from hustle.
Yes,
it's good to be hardworking. Hustling is that unsettled spirit. You are running around, running up and down, trying to be this. You will leave your path that God has destined for you and be running around somebody's path,
yes,
because you want to be like the person.
Yes.
That person has started a forum for married people. Let's start too. The person has started prayer on social. Let us start too. The person is now doing something for young women. Let us start too. All those things you are doing in themselves, they are good.
Yes, sir.
But Paul said, let nothing be done through strife,
yes,
or vain glory.
Hey.
God has delivered you from the strivings,
amen,
of the people. If you extract yourself from this thing, you will enjoy the peace of destiny.
Yes,
you will enjoy the joy of the Spirit of God.
Yes,
you are not truly free until you are free from this hustling spirit, from the opinions of people, of what people will think of. You must be free of this thing, you know? And God is lifting up your head in the name of Jesus. Stay where you are. Be digging your wells. Be digging your wells. There are young men that don't know the difference between a confession of faith and ambition.
Yes, sir.
Ambition is not confession of faith. Ambition is not confession of faith. This is the number one mega church. Number one. This is the biggest. Those confessions are not scriptural confessions.
Yes, sir.
All that thing that I try to do, we are the number one. We are the best. We are the favorite. We are the using superlative terms. No. In this kingdom, we are not working for ourselves.
Yes, sir.
We are working for the glory of God.
Amen.
This thing that tries to push yourself forward is not of God, though. It is a slippery pit. Is a pit of hustling.
Yes,
desist from it. Once you remove yourself from it, God will establish you.
Yes,
he will strengthen you. He will settle you.
Yes, you.
And then from nowhere, people will say that, you remember that guy that we used to know in school? I just saw him on TV. Where has he been all these years? It's because you removed yourself from the striving. God can now lift you up again. I'm seeing somebody, I'm seeing pain in your wrist and you have pain around your fingers, the joint, folding your fingers.
Yes, sir. Folding.
Folding your fingers. You have pain. You are being healed right now.
Amen.
I see something snapping in the realm of the spirit. You are being healed right now in the name of Jesus. Kneecaps are being healed. No need for surgery. Kneecaps are being healed. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. No need for surgery. Kneecaps are being healed. God is giving you new kneecaps. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see a problem around the waist being healed. And this problem is from your spinal cord. But God is readjusting, rearranging your spinal cord. And that thing around your waist is snapped. Is healed. Metacosiata. I see a band around your waist. I'm not talking about physical, that you are wearing a waistband. It's not physical waistband, though. It is a demonic band, and it has held your destiny bound. It is snapped in the name of your, it is broken. It is shattered in the name of Jesus. I see somebody, you have put so much money into an endeavor. The money seems to have vanished. I see the angel of the Lord digging the ground around where the money is. As if it were water springing out from the ground. I see that money. God is bringing it back to you. I see water springing out from the ground. In the same place where you lost that money, God is orchestrating resources to you. Water is springing out of the ground for you again in the name of Jesus. Chest pain is being healed. Angina, chest pain is being healed. Pain in the chest, you are being healed by the power of God right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Clarity. I see God giving clarity concerning a lifetime decision you're about to make. Clarity, clarity, clarity. And graciously over this weekend, God is granting you divinely granted appearances. And you will see clearly the steps to take. You will see clearly the will of God over this weekend.
Amen.
I mean Friday, Saturday, Sunday. God is granting you divinely granted appearances to see his will in this matter. In the name of Jesus, I see people ganged up against you. I see them coming in force against you. I see the Spirit of God like a flood sweep them away. And the Lord says that their memory will not be remembered. Those that flogged you with their words, those that attacked you with their comments, those that gathered around you and said that we will use our influence to make sure you go down. The Lord of vengeance has risen for you.
Amen.
You are rising. You are rising. You are rising. You are rising in the name of Jesus. Fear not, says the Spirit of the living God. All those that were incensed against you shall go down. God is blowing them away like chaff in the wind, says the Spirit of God. And while they are being blown away, you are standing strong, says the Spirit of the living God. I see somebody, you have hustled enough. You have hustled enough. Give the word of God a chance. Give the word of God space in your heart. Allow God to carry you. Allow this river of God's spirit to carry you. I see a couple. You are sitting down dejected. I see you. You have been striving. You have been hustling. You have been hustling. But God is saying a new season has come for you. A new season has come for you. You won't be running around. You will rest in his mercy. You will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth before you with singing. You will go forth with joy, not with weariness. You will be led forth with peace. not with tiredness. And those things that were like challenges that look big like mountains before you, they are breaking forth before you with singing in the name of Jesus. Eli Gedia Gozokoyena Igabayataya Ledia Soketia. I see a special healing anointing. I'm coming back to healing. I see a special healing anointing around where you are right now. Where you are right now. Even up to you see there are grades of the healing anointing. I'm seeing the grades of the healing anointing. It goes like a curve upwards. Healing pains, healing sicknesses, okay? Healing deafness. When you go up, you see healing of blindness. You go up, you see healing of cancer. You go up, you see raising the dead. I see a whole spectrum of the healing power of God. Therefore, I cause sickness right now. I cause disease. I cause fever in its every form. I cause cancer in the name of Jesus. I cause those growths. I cause organic diseases. I cause every symptom, every sign of sickness, every infirmity. You spirit of infirmity, hear my voice right now and obey me in the name of Jesus. You know the sound of my voice. You know the sound of my voice. I come against you in the name of Jesus. I come against you with the rod of power and the scepter of authority. I command you, lose your hold over God's people. Lose your hold over our children in the name of Jesus. I command strangers to fade away and be afraid out of your close places. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Mekatayaba, I see something coming out of someone's ears. Media Karia Toshia Kapaya Gadu Asaya. I see something in someone's body, moving in someone's body. In the name of Jesus, die and pass out of that body. I see growth and fibroids dropping out. I am hearing distinctly that by next week there is a lady you are listening to me. We are going to pass out the fibroids supernaturally. In the name of Jesus, I see evil things that have been planted in the bodies of God's people. Planted in your bodies. I see them giving way. I see them detaching. I see them leaving your body. Miracle fire. Miracle fire in the name of Jesus. Miracle fire. I unleash miracle fire. I unleash miracle fire in your bodies, in your cell, in your blood, in your bones in the name of Jesus. It burns cancer to ashes. It burns those growths to nothingness. In the name of Jesus, I command healing over you. I command health and wholeness, wellness into your body, into your family in the name of Jesus. That family affliction, as it's afflicting you, is afflicting your sibling. It's broken. In the name of Jesus, it's broken. I see an altar that is sponsoring sickness in a family. That altar, I see it breaking pieces. Amen. I see the sponsors of that altar go down. I see miracle fire burn that altar. Amen. And the sponsors to ashes. In the name of Jesus, the Lord of the breaks has risen mightily for you. In the name of Jesus. Melia, Ayada, Akasia, Meketiga, Neka, Fua, Ninga, Merie, Braga, Zukepia, Tekeligada, Eredosh, Tehekeliapa. I see a couple you just relocated in that new place. Uh-huh. God is arranging things for you. I see you, you're in that place, so lonely, looking for help around. God has raised up help for you. Erabatosia, Tehigabayadia, Kasokete Kayeda. I see people. Hey. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The power of God is upon you.
Amen.
The wind of the spirit. You have been trying to relocate, but things have been hard for you. The door pillar, the gates of those nations are open unto you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The pillars, like Samson, are removed. The gates are removed with their pillars. You are ushered into those places in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm seeing these people, the whirlwind of the God Spirit is carrying into those nations because your destiny is in those places at this time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise and glory. Megadia, Kasia, Pararoshte, Heya, Eya, Eya. Sorry. It's my vision. Eya. I'm seeing somebody begging. This is not you. But you have swallowed your pride because of your loved ones to beg for resources. The angel of the basket attends to you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
The angel of the basket, thank this Lord. Angel that heeds my voice, that angel, he attends to you now.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Father.
I command ideas into
thank
your mind.
Lord.
I command helpers into your path. I command resources into your hand. I command enlargement into your heart. In the name of Jesus, this period is passing speedily and a new season of abundance is
Amen.
Coming to you. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing somebody thanking God and say, oh Lord, you have not had it as good as this. The Lord says, strengthen your stake. So, lengthen your cords because you have not seen anything.
Amen.
God is bringing a new wave of abundance to you. I'm seeing it. A new wave of abundance is coming to your family, to your business, in the name of Jesus, for the mouth of his prophet has commanded it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name.
You have been listening to the Visionary of Manifold Grace Ministries, a God breath ministry with a mandate to lift believers into new levels of victory via the teaching of the word of faith and the release of the supernatural. Partner with us or to download more messages, visit www.manifoldgraceministries.org. You can follow us on social media at Manifold Grace Ministries. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Manifold Grace Ministries. God loves you.